morning, we are talking about reclaiming purpose. My name's Ty. I'm the worship pastor here. I love getting to lead our worship team. I love our time of worship here on the weekends and worship nights and all that kind of stuff. And it's such a blessing. And I love the opportunity to come and share a little bit of God's word with you. So thank you, church. And thank you to our Pastor Nathan. Can we just appreciate Pastor Nathan this morning? All he does to serve this church family, to serve God's kingdom, faithful in doing that. He is awesome and on a well-deserved vacation. And so we are filling the gap in his absence, and we are in this series called Reclaim. Pastor Travis, as always, did a great job last week talking about reclaiming our time. And if you missed that, I'd encourage you to go watch it because it's going to challenge you and it's going to encourage you and give you some tools and some good mindset of what it looks like to reclaim our time in a biblical way. And so today we're going to talk about reclaiming our purpose. And of course we know, like, if you're a follower of Christ, our purpose is simply to know God and make him known, right? The Great Commission, to go out and to advance the kingdom through spreading the gospel. But how do we make that lived out in our everyday, walk, in our everyday journey through the ups and downs of life? What does that look like? We're going to unpack that today and how we can build practices towards living out and finding our purpose. And to set that up, I was reminded of a story not too long ago. My wife, Ashley, left on a trip for a week. She had to go to Michigan for some training for her job. And it was just me and the boys for a week. Okay. All the dads are, yeah, I know what's up. I know. Okay. That's real talk. I know. Right. Like for a week, and I love my boys. I love my boys. Right. But they're a lot. They're a lot. My wife, she just brings so much balance to that. Right. So she's amazing at that. And in her absence, but you know what? I was up for the task and I was going to persevere. And so in preparing for that, I had a conversation with her. I was like, hey, babe, listen, next time we got to plan this out better. I get it. You got to go work. But listen, I have to preach and you're leaving for a week. She's like, Ty, you don't have to preach for like 3 weeks until I get back. You're going to be fine. I was like, they're good boys are going to wear me out. I'm going to need time to recover. Okay. So nonetheless, like I said, I'm going to persevere and I'm going to move forward. And so in that, in her absence, and here's the other thing, you don't realize what you have until it's gone. Can anyone resonate with me that more, like right now? Awesome. Like five of you. Okay, cool. So you don't realize what you have until it's gone. I'm used to just like opening up the kitchen cabinet, clean dishes right there, ready to go. Okay. I'm used to just like going into the closet, clean clothes right there, ready to go. Like they just mysteriously get there and I don't even notice them appearing. Like some of the ladies are like nudging the husband, like, you need to tune in today, okay? This is going to be a word from the Lord today. But you just don't realize what you have until it's gone. And I felt the absence of those things in the absence of my wife. And so to ladies or the guys, whoever, all the little things that you do around the house, even in the midst of chaos to keep the house in order, y'all are awesome. You're amazing. We see you. We recognize you. We miss you when you are gone, okay? So she's gone. And we all have these jobs to do in her absence. The boys had their checklist and it was time to get mine. And so I sat down and she's like, okay, Ty, the only thing that you have to do when I'm gone is water the plants in the front yard. Church, I took it as an insult. I'm just like, surely there's, I thought I was going to have to go out and build like a pergola or something like that. Water plants. She's like, no, I'm serious, Ty. You got to water them every single day. I was like, babe, I can water some plants. I got this. Have a great trip. See you in a week. Okay. So anyways, first day she's gone, I go out to water the plants, but here's something about me. Okay. I hate wasting time. The thought of standing there for 10 minutes watering a plant, pass. I'm out. I got to figure out a better way to do it. And so I came up with this idea. I actually kind of got this idea from Google, but nonetheless, I got an idea. I'm just going to fill every pot up with ice cubes. Okay. Brilliant. Okay, this is like home and garden stuff, right? Like magazine worthy. So I go out there, I fill all the pots up with ice cubes, and then I go about the day, on to a different task. Multitasking, I love it, it's efficient. Second day comes along. Like I said, the boys are a lot, okay? The boys are crazy. Forgot the ice cubes, no big deal. Third day comes along, forgot the ice cubes again. Last day, good news is I remembered I had to water the plants, okay? Bad news is I went out and all the plants were dead. and I'm in a panic. Okay? So I'm freaking out. I grab the hose. I'm watering these things. I'm like bringing Niagara Falls to the plants right now. I'm terrified. Meanwhile, my son, Easton, he comes out. He sees what's happening, what's taking place. He's like, oh, Dad, you are cooked. I'm like, thank you, son. Not helpful right now. Appreciate it. Okay? Nonetheless, I sat there and I watered the plants for a long time. Next morning, guess what? All back to life, baby. I was like, yes, the Lord brought him up from the grave. It was amazing. And I called Easton over. I'm like, dude, joke's on you, bud. Check it out. They're all back to life. And he's like, Dad, no, you went and bought new plants and put them in. I was like, no, dude, this was a test. This was to show you the power of the Lord that comes through persevering in prayer. Okay? And he's like, oh, you are so lucky. And he was not wrong. So, you know, but that was my one job that I had. That was my one purpose that I had. And here's the thing about purpose as we move into this text today. That purpose without persistence produces nothing. Right? Purpose without persistence produces nothing. I had the call. I had the task. I even had the tools to make sure that those plants were taken care of. But unless I have the willingness and the diligence to step into actually doing it, then I never really get to see the fruit or the power of the purpose that comes within it. You see, church, purpose is rooted in God's design. You can write that down if you like. Ephesians 2:10, Paul says this. It says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. This word workmanship that the text uses, it actually comes from the Greek word poiema. And what this word means is a masterpiece or a work of art. This is what God describes you as a masterpiece, his work of art. And it shows us that his purpose is not random, right? God has created you on purpose and for a purpose. And that purpose, the Bible says, includes works that have been prepared before we even existed. And let's not be misguided this morning in thinking that these works that we walk in somehow equate to the salvation that's given through Christ. No, because Paul, right before that, just a couple of verses, verse 8, he says this, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Listen, church, if we try to do anything to add to the gift of grace, then we take away from what Jesus did on the cross. You see, Jesus, he took the weight of your sin and my sin, the world's sin, upon himself. In fact, 2 Corinthians, Paul says it this way. He says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What does that mean? The righteousness of God. It means that when I give my life to the Lord, right? When I surrender my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the Bible says then the Spirit of God then takes residence in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, within my body. And because the Spirit of God now lives within me, when the Father looks down, he doesn't see Ty for all his goofed up ways and bad decisions. No, he sees his perfect and righteous Son living within me. And he says, that's enough. That's what it means to be made alive in Christ. And in doing that, good works extend from that. The good work is not equated to salvation, but rather it's a celebration of the new life that we have in Christ. And so again, Paul is saying, hey, we are his workmanship. We're his poiema. We are his masterpiece, his work of art, and we're created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This phrase, walking in them, it actually comes from the Greek word peripateia. And what this word has some different meaning throughout scripture, but it depends on the context that it's being used. In the context of this passage specifically, peripateia is talking about how to conduct your life. It's walking about. It's a daily way of living. You can see it that way. And so we know that we have purpose that God has designed within us, and that purpose includes these good works that the Bible says he already had prepared beforehand. But here's the thing about prepared works. Prepared works need willing workers. God has the plan. The work has been prepared. But we need to have a willingness to take a step into the process of trusting in God's purpose. I want us to hang on to that word process this morning, because I think that's going to be a key word and a foundational word of what it really looks like to step forward and follow Christ towards finding and discerning this purpose that he has for us, a process. Hang on to that. I think so many times, I know I've said this in my life and in seasons, it's easy to say things like, man, I just want to know my purpose. I just want to know my call. I just want to know, what does God have planned for me? How am I going to be used? And we think that that purpose needs to be consistent with some like great movement and advancement of God's kingdom. Like, I'm going to be used in this big and huge, profound way that's going to inspire this huge change and revolution and cause God's kingdom to be advanced. And here's the thing, church. If we're not careful, we can start thinking in this way. And if we're not careful, we can start thinking that our purpose is defined through the lens of what people think our purpose should be. We start measuring and defining our worth based on the perception and approval and acceptance of others. And it's kind of woven through just our society, right? Just in our world today, if we're going to be honest this morning, we can admit that we live in a generation of instant gratification. And maybe you can resonate with some of this morning. You see, we live for likes, we live for engagements, we seek applause, we seek recognition, we long to be invited, we don't want to miss out. But following in the ways of Jesus means setting ourselves apart from the culture of the world. It's so easy to talk about, yet so hard to live out, right? Why? Why is that so hard to live out? And I believe it's because we all long to have purpose. We want to be significant and relevant. We want to be valued. We want to have this sense of fulfillment. But so often we try to purpose that through the approval and the acceptance of others. And when we do that, church, I believe that we miss the bigger picture of what God is leading us towards, the bigger work that he has prepared ahead of us. Because we all have purpose. We all have a foundation that God has built within us. And I believe that God wants to use your purpose, wants to use each and every person in this room joining online. He wants to use you for a great way to accomplish the work that he's doing in his kingdom, in this church, right here in this community, right here and right now. So again, you were created with purpose. You were created on purpose. And your purpose is unique to you and works in harmony with the church as a whole. But we come to realize what that is through a process, right? It comes through a process of God's providence, trusting in his provision, trusting in his plan. Has anyone here ever made a plan and did it go to plan? A couple of us? Awesome. This happens to me. It just happened to me recently. And to spare a lot of the details and save time, let me just say that this month in particular is like chaos, okay? There's just so many things. I'm committed to all these different things, and it's taking a ton of my time. And I'm excited. Things I'm excited for and looking forward to. But nonetheless, I've had to really be diligent about prioritizing my time. And one of those things I've had to really be diligent about setting time aside is being prepared for this morning to share with our church family. And so in the midst of all the stuff happening, I came up with a plan. And the plan was last week, I was going to get up early. I was going to get here to the building early before the day got started. I was going to commit 3 hours to building an outline, getting an idea of what we were going to be talking about today in reclaiming our purpose. Okay? That's all I had, reclaiming purpose. What does that mean? And so I made this plan. So I got up early, got my cold brew coffee. Anyone who knows me well enough knows that I'm going to have cold brew coffee in the morning. I love it. It's amazing. If you never tried it, try it. You're welcome. It's great. Okay, so I got the cold brew. I got here to the building, got in my office, fired up the laptop, wrote one line, got a call from my wife 1 minute later. Hello, my dove. How's it going? She's like, hey, Ty, I'm really sorry. I know you're trying to work, but I was pulling out of the driveway and my tire's completely flat. And I'm like, oh, cool. It's not the plan, babe. It's not the plan. She's like, I know, I don't know, too. And so I said, you know, obviously, what did I do? I told her, call tow truck, and I was going to finish the lesson, right? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. That'd be totally messed up. I didn't do that. I went home, and I helped my wife, right? And I replaced the tire. And here's the thing, church. I feel this to be true, and I think Pastor Travis would be proud of me and also agree that I'm pretty much a mechanic now, okay? You should have seen me out there in that driveway. Okay, I had the tire out, I had some tools there, it's like I knew what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing, but it looked like it, and I'm calling myself a mechanic, okay? But you see, I had a plan, and the plan didn't go as planned. And that's just life sometimes, right? That's just, all of us can experience that throughout our journey of life. I love this saying, if you want to make God laugh, go ahead and tell him your 5-year plan. You see, I can create a great idea and I can communicate it to you as God's plan, and it means nothing if it's not positioned in his purpose. You see, Proverbs 16:9, it says this, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines the steps. You see, church, my plan is usually like detailed out. It's clean, it's smooth, it's like a straight road, no speed bumps, right? God's plan usually meets my plan with some type of plot twist, a detour, like, right, some type of miracle in the midst of that, some type of lesson taught, and then a blessing received. And then I'm praising God in retrospect, right? Because God's plan is easier to see when it's come to fruition than it is at the beginning. You see, his purpose is discovered through a process. And this is not just unique to us, right? This is woven all throughout Scripture. Foundational members of the faith, key pioneers of the faith who experienced the same of what we experience right now. Paul, we're talking a lot about him today, wrote pretty much half of the New Testament. His plan was to go preach to the region of Asia. He's on his way. The Spirit literally stops him in his track, redirects him, sends him off to Macedonia. Have you ever been like, oh yeah, I'm going to go here, serve the Lord, and he's like, whoop, nope, no you're not, and you're like going this way now. I mean, this is what he experiences in his life. Joseph, incredible story. If you don't know the life of Joseph, I'd encourage you to go and read that. But Joseph, his brothers hated him. They wanted to kill him. In fact, they left him in a pit to die, and out of some like fraction of mercy that they found in one of them, they pulled him out and they ended up selling him away as a slave. And so Joseph gets sold away as a slave and ends up becoming the governor of Egypt, and not only saving his family, but an entire nation in a season of famine. He literally goes from being a prisoner to prime minister. In his story, church, it proves that what others meant for evil, God used for good. It proves that God's plan will outrun the schemes of man, that God's plan will outweigh human portrayal. In fact, I think some of us, if not all of us, need to write this down on a little piece of note paper, put it in our pocket, and walk with this about the day, that in this life, in this world, people will try to bring you down. And it's encapsulate all different kinds of reasons why. But people will try to bring you down. And when they do, God will lift you higher than you can ever imagine. But it will never come in a position of retaliation or condemnation. It will only come through a surrendered heart to the providence and to the process of God's bigger plan and purpose for your life. You see, church, Joseph didn't let the pit stop the promise of God. In fact, it was the pit that prepared and positioned him for great things ahead that he would come to realize through a process. God's plan is always bigger. It's always better. He has not positioned us for insignificance, but he's equipped you for incredible things, incredible ways that are going to advance his kingdom They're going to bring glory. They're going to bless his church, going to expand the kingdom of God through believers. But it's so much easier to see that looking back, right? We can probably all reflect on different ways, different seasons where we were in a position of fear and uncertainty. And then through the process, God did something and we look back and we're like, oh, okay, I get it now. Thank you, Lord. I didn't see that. I should have trusted in that. When seasons hit like that, I try to encourage myself and others. Like, I don't want to come back to the Lord repenting that I wasn't trusting. I want to come back to the Lord celebrating that God's plan is always bigger and always better. And this is why it's important for us, church, to carry these reference points, right? To carry these reference points with us. Because the reality is, seasons are going to get hard, right? That's just the world. I say this all the time, but sometimes the cupcake's going to hit the fan. And when the cupcake hits the fan, fear is going to overcome, anxiety is going to overcome, and we have a choice. Are we going to be in fear, or are we going to trust God? And I think both are true in some cases, if we're being honest. But we need a reference point, like the Israelites crossed the Jordan. They put all the stones at the bed there. And that way they know, hey, when life gets tough and uncertainty hits, I have a reference point to stand on of when God was faithful. He was faithful then, he'll be faithful now, and he'll be faithful into the future. But it comes through trust in his plan and his process and his purpose within my life. See, we need reference points so that we can keep that experience of Christ in our life. But here's the thing. Praise God that the presence of God does not equate to my experience. Maybe say it this way. The presence of God is not limited to our experience, right? Here's what I mean like that. We can have a great experience. I love being our worship pastor here at RCC. This is an amazing team. So blessed to be able to lead with these amazing people and our amazing church. We got the worship night coming up, and Lord willing, we trust that that's going to be an amazing experience. And there's something powerful, like we said earlier, there's something powerful that comes when we come together and we lift songs of praise as a community of Christ to God. I think power happens in that. And that is a great experience, and an experience that can really help propel us forward in our walk with Christ and encourage us. But God's presence is not limited to that experience. In other words, God's presence doesn't happen just when we sing our favorite worship song. God's presence doesn't show up when we exegete a specific passage in Scripture or done a specific way. God's presence doesn't just show up when we have a specific event here at the church or a certain Easter or Christmas service. No, God's presence is evident all the time. In fact, God's not even bound by time. He's outside of it. I love how Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. Though interesting, he says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." It's interesting to consider the language that Paul is using to describe the Lord here, right? Interesting word choice. And to save time in the context, you can simply say it as this: the world of the time. You have the Greeks, right? Who are all consumed in philosophy and ideology, and the cross seems foolish to them. You have the Jews who are expecting a Messiah, and they think he's going to come as like a super force, and the cross seems foolish to them. You have the Romans who are like this elite super force right now, and the cross seems foolish to them, yet God uses the cross to demonstrate his power and his wisdom to the world. It's amazing how God does this, right? It's like when Moses was told to speak to the rock to have the water come out, and he ends up hitting the rock and he gets busted. Because like the Lord's like, hey, I told you to speak to the rock. You're hitting the rock, making it seem like some type of effort that you have is bringing this about. Now, I don't need the work of your effort. I need the trust of your faith. I have the power. I need your faith. This is what it looks like, church, to follow the Lord in our purpose. A mentor told me one time, he said this. He said, Ty, when you think you've figured out God, when you feel like you're in a place where you can explain God well to others, you've just proven your ignorance. And at the time, that hit kind of hard, but in this season where I am right now, I try to carry that with me close. Why? Because it reminds me to stay teachable, stay humble, Stop trying to explain God to everyone and start focusing on experiencing his goodness in your life through being in his word, through being in worship, through being in a fellowship and a community with other believers. That's what it looks like to walk in the ways of Christ, to start discerning and discovering your purpose that God has prepared before you were even a thought. It doesn't just stop at giving my life to Christ and then just going about life. Yes, grace gives us salvation, but salvation is the starting line. It's not the finish line. Purpose is a process of becoming. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. Listen, I don't know if you're anything like me, but anytime I've started something new, I've not come in as an expert, okay? I've never come in and tried to tell the teacher how it's done, right? I've come in as someone who is wanting to learn, to grow and develop. And that's what we should be positioning ourselves like when we're following the Lord, eager to learn, to grow, to develop, to learn, to listen and discern the voice of God through his word, through prayer. You see, church, salvation is a lifelong journey of transformation. Some of you may have heard the word sanctification. Either way, all it means is that the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God is living within you, then each and every single day, your life looks more and more like Christ. Why? Because there's a new spiritual creation in me that's at war with the flesh of who I am. And because the Spirit of God is within me, fruit is produced, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of this fruit of the Spirit living within me at war with my flesh now. And so I started thinking, man, maybe I shouldn't think this way. Maybe I shouldn't be doing these things. Maybe I shouldn't be involving myself in these things. And through that, transformation happens. You see, my life looks more like Christ, but it's through a process. I love the verse when Jesus says, hey, if you want to be a follower of mine, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. And I love how some translations add that word daily. Because here's the thing about a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice will get up and crawl off the altar. Right, we can offer ourselves as a sacrifice to the Lord, but sometimes when uncertainty hits, we let fear and anxiety overtake us. That's why it's a daily walk. There's some days where I'm just like, yeah, awesome. Like, I'm on fire for the Lord. Everything's great. The next day, I'm crying out to God, Lord, are you even there? Are you even real? What's happening here? And maybe some of you can relate with that in your life or a season that you've walked. And you see, it's a daily walk and it continues through loving God, loving others, obeying his word, serving his people, using your gifts, serving in church, enduring in faith when times are uncertain, living out the purpose that God has positioned within you. Paul says in Philippians 3, he says, not that I have already obtained this or am I already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This idea, press on, this word, it comes from the Greek word dioko. And what the word means is to pursue or to run after. It actually means to run after with effort. Like there's resistance involved. It's not just living to get through the day. It's living with a purpose and a target in mind. Listen, have any of you ever been excited for something and it's just kind of like motivated you through the thing you're not excited about? Like you have a vacation coming up, or maybe it's like something that you have planned with a friend, a concert you're going to. I don't know, whatever it is, but you had something that you were looking forward to, and then maybe it was work or something like that. It just kind of motivated you throughout the day because you had something you were looking forward to. Anyone resonate with that? That's what Paul is saying here. He's like, hey, don't live your life with no purpose. Have a target. Have a destiny in mind, a prize in mind. And we know that that prize is eternity with Christ in heaven. The Bible reminds us, church, that the things we experience in this life, even the greatest ones, I love being a dad. I love my boys. I love my wife. I love my family. I love playing guitar. I love music. I can't imagine life without these things. But even those things pale in comparison to the glory that will be revealed to us and shared with us in heaven through Christ Jesus. That is worth running for. That's a prize and a purpose worth having that I live my everyday life towards. And so when we live this way of reclaiming our purpose, we know that God's purpose is rooted in his design. We know that it comes through a process of following him. And the last thing is that your purpose serves a bigger purpose. Not too long ago, I was helping my son, Easton. He had built this Lego car, this Lamborghini car that my mom, his grandma, got for him. This thing was awesome. I'm like, people designed this stuff? That's insane. Okay, but he built this car. He had the whole thing put together. I'm like, dude, that is impressive. But the door wouldn't open like the other one. Like, one door opened well, and this one just kept getting stuck, and he asked for my help. And I got to be honest, I was like trying to force it into place. I couldn't figure it out. It was like a piece of furniture from IKEA. You're just like, dude, forget these tools. Just get me the power drum. Slap this thing together, right? Like I was trying to force it into place and it wouldn't work. And so finally, I just had to slow down, start taking it apart. And we found one little piece under the car that was out of place. So we got that piece in the right place. And then guess what happened? Yeah, the door started working. It worked as it was designed and purposed to do. And we're no different. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, he says that we are like a body. That's us. That's the church, right? We are like a body with many parts. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The eye doesn't have the function of the hand. Purpose is not just about you. It's not just about me, but it's about your unique gifts, your unique abilities, working in harmony and rhythm with the body to thrive as a whole. You see, church, when we use our gifts together, the church grows stronger in faith and love and mission. And your gift might look different than someone else. That's okay, right? Maybe your gift is teaching. Or it's helping or giving. Listen, we have an incredible maintenance team here. Our maintenance team here at RCC is awesome. And if you're on the maintenance team, we love you guys. You're so cool. Because the things that you do is incredible. They build these awesome things. They're like skilled electricians, skilled engineers. They build these things around campus that are amazing. And here's the thing, church. I'm not on the team. Okay, I got a shirt. I do have a shirt. And we're friends, and we do life together, and I'll cheer them along, I'll sing them a song, but I am not on the team. Because you don't want me building anything that needs structural integrity. It's just not, I can't even water plants. But that's their gift. It's like a puzzle piece, right? Every piece matters. Every piece works towards the bigger picture. And you are part of that piece. Every piece has value. You have purpose. You were created on purpose and with purpose. And your purpose and your gift matters. And maybe you're still looking for what that is. That's okay. That's okay. And that's completely normal. Timothy had spiritual gifts. And Paul said, hey, fan them into flame. Which just means, hey, don't sit on your hands and feet and let fear hold you back. Get a moving. Walk it out, Timothy. Peter, he didn't walk on water by studying how boats work. He just took a step and followed Christ. And he walked on water through the Spirit of God working in him. You see, church, serving often reveals what makes you come alive and what ultimately blesses others. Your gifts will grow as you commit to take a step forward. You see, church, purpose without a step is just potential. That's all it is. And we don't want to just stop at potential. You're so much more than potential. Everyone has potential. But you have purpose, And your potential is meant to be walked out towards living out that purpose that God has gifted and equipped and empowered within you through the power of His Spirit working within you. And so we know God's purpose is rooted in His design. We're going to see and realize that through a daily walk with Him, right? A daily surrender of following the Lord. And then we can use that purpose. God will use that purpose in us for great ways. In great ways to advance His kingdom, to bring about His church, a community of believers. But we have to be willing to step in it, right? To discover it, to learn it, to reclaim it, walk in it daily. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing. God, we thank You for the purpose that You give to us through Your Son, Jesus. God, we thank You for the gift of life that is offered through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And God, You say if we call on His name, if we give our life, that we have new life in Him. And so God, we celebrate the new life in Christ today, not of anything of ourselves, but it's a free gift of grace that comes through faith in Jesus. And if you're in the room today and you want to hear more about that grace, or if you just need prayer in your life in a season that you're in, we have a prayer team who's up here near the crosses. We want to invite you to come forward. They'd love to be praying with you this morning. But God, in this moment, we celebrate who You are, Your faithfulness, God. The fact that You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so in the midst of our ever-changing world, God, we stand on the constant and the immutable truth of who You are, and we celebrate the gift of life that we have in Jesus. We give You the praise, and it's Your name. We pray.